In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. And I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the Lord of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any place to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have done now with the visions, even the object lessons. Now what we have is in chapter 8, we have a particular prophecy. It is a word that comes from the Lord to Zechariah to be preached, to be spoken to the people of God. In chapters 9 through 11, we have such another discourse. And so in this afternoon's reading, Lord willing, we'll get to a part of that. But 9 through 11 also make one contiguous prophecy that Zechariah gives to the people. All right, so here in this first section, the Lord declares a word of comfort for his people, not in a vision, but in a prophetic utterance. And this comfort includes a change of disposition in him toward them. There was a time in which the Lord said, I was jealous for Jerusalem. Now, don't understand that word jealous like, there were other gods looking at them and I got stirred up about that. The jealousy that God is speaking of, we could better translate it as zeal. Strong feeling, strong emotion. Of course, this is a condescension on the part of God. It expresses the way God is behaving toward a people in emotional terms that God doesn't imbibe in that sense. All those affections or emotions that we hear of in God are condescensions to us, to help us to understand how the Lord is moving and how the Lord is acting. And so, notice he says, there was a time when I was jealous, zealous. And that zeal, that jealousness, jealousy that he speaks of is, that's why he brought the nations against them to destroy them. It was a destructive kind of face that God presented to the people of Israel in that day. But now he says, I will be jealous over them no more. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And so notice, in his jealousy he forsook them, and then he will return to them. He will dwell in the midst of them once again. Now, if this chapter was a book all by itself, we would look at it and we would say, oh, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about the restoration under Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Zerubbabel, Joshua. He's talking about the rebuilding of the temple under those men in that day. But remember that we have just gotten done speaking about the branch. We've just gotten done speaking about the branch who will build the temple of the Lord. It's not Zerubbabel, it's not Joshua that we're looking at primarily, although there is an historical understanding that the Lord did, in that sense and in that history, return to Jerusalem to rebuild. And yes, there was a temple that was built, you'll remember. And they did reestablish the worship. And the nations were favorable to them, although there was some minor opposition. Remember, King Cyrus was the Lord's servant, the Lord's anointed. What does Cyrus mean? That's a Median word, a Persian word, which means Christ, anointed one. He was raised up as a type of Christ to commission the building of the temple, even in that day. Zerubbabel and Joshua, the king and the priest of that day, they represent those two offices of Christ as the one who would build the temple. And so here we have then in chapter 8, in the flow of this prophetic utterance, we understand that there is that fulfillment of this passage when there is a temple restored in that day, but that is not the greatest fulfillment of that passage. The greatest fulfillment of that passage is that the Lord is returned to his people in Christ, the true builder of the true temple, which the Lord pitched and not man. That temple, that living temple that is made of lively stones that Peter talks about in the days of the New Testament. And so, whereas before, the weakest and most vulnerable members were the first to die in the siege and in the famine, the old men and the boys and girls, the old ladies. Now, what will it look like in the streets of Jerusalem in this prophetic utterance, in this prophetic commentary? It says that the old men and the old women and the boys and girls, they will be the primary inhabitants of the streets. That's what you'll see when you look down the streets of Jerusalem. You'll see old men and old women. The old men will have their staff in their hand. They will not have it taken out of their hand. The boys and girls will be playing in the streets. In other words, Jerusalem shall have the reputation as a city of peace, not a city any longer under siege, under starvation, under death and destruction. And so that's what those first few verses mean. Notice, I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Looking forward to the days of Messiah, when it will not be a hypocritical confession, but true confession, in truth and in righteousness. All right, so then in verses 9 and following, we have the order of these commands. There are several commands given. First of all, let your hands be strong. That is, to build the house of the Lord. Second, know that I have delivered you from the affliction and oppression precisely for that purpose. Third, let your crops and fields will now bring forth. They will bring forth now, whereas before they did not. And in these days, declares Yahweh, as I revealed myself a judge to your fathers, now I will be one who does you good, I will bless you, and so therefore, speak the truth, execute justice and peace, cleanse your hands from evil and your mouths from false swearing. Do you see the order here? The order is not, okay, if you will cease from speaking evil, if you will do good, then I will do you good. No, that's not how grace works. The Lord says, look at all that I'm doing for you. Therefore, speak ye the truth, every man to his neighbor. Put away oppression from among you, and so on. And so obedience follows, does not precede grace. Correct? Okay. All right, then in the last section, the final section, verses 18 through the end, remember we heard about those fasts. Did you fast at all to me? Remember that from chapter 7? Okay, now the Lord says there's not going to be any fasting at all. And he widens it out. It's not just the fifth and the seventh month, those waves of captivity that they remembered in those fasts, but it was also the fall of Jerusalem. It was also the destruction of it. The fourth and the fifth and the seventh and the tenth month. All of those terrible events that they commemorated in fasts. The Lord says, I'm going to turn those into feasts. No longer will they be fasts. I'm going to turn them into times of rejoicing. Such will your blessing be. And then he goes on to speak about the days when all of the nations will come flowing into Jerusalem. There'll be cities that are spread far and wide, and out of those cities, 10 men will rise up. 10, right? 10. A number of completion. 10 will rise up, and what will they say? Well, they'll grab the skirt of a Jew, and they'll say what? Take us to Zion. We've heard that God is among you. Take us to Zion. Lead us to the way where we can hear the word of God. Lead us to the way where we can partake of the blessings of Yahweh. And this, yes, it was fulfilled in a kind of historical way before the coming of Messiah. But truly, in its greatest fulfillment, we see this in the days of Messiah, don't we? Isn't that what we see at the day of Pentecost? We've already talked about that. Why did the Lord send 120 out of the upper room speaking in various languages that they had not learned? All those folks were gathered in Jerusalem. And they heard the good word of God. And they came to Peter and they said, what? What shall we do? Remember? And what did Peter say? Repent, every one of you. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, those are the days to which the prophecy ultimately looks. Thus ends the reading of Zechariah chapter 8. Let's stand.